Let's go from the Gemara, Rebbe Eleza Oima. Rebbe Eleza Oima, Ha'oisa Tfilosoi Keva. The Mishnah spoke about somebody who makes his tefillah keva. And we were trying to establish, what does that mean, making your tefillah keva, which the Gemara, the Mishnah said, is not very advisable, ain't tefillosoi sachanumi. Says the Gemara, my keva. What does that mean to make your tefillah keva, which the Mishnah said you should not do? Omar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, Rav Yaakov Ba'idi said, Omar Rav Oishia, kol shetfilosoi doime olov kamasui. Anybody whose tefillah appears to him to be like a masui is a burden. If a person davens as a burden, and that's what it means, keva, something which is weighing down upon him, it's a burden that has to be got rid of, then that type of davening is not accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first pshat. If you look towards the top of the Amud, on the third line of Rashi, Rashi says, Kemasui Vahainu Loshen Keva. And that's what it means. That's the expression of Keva over here. Choik Kavua Hu Olai. There is this established law upon me, Lehispalel, telling me that I have to daven, Vitzorich Ani Lotseis Yedei Choivosi. And I have to be Yotze my Chiv. So if somebody is davening in order just to check the box, just to be yotzei his chiyuv, that's called davening as keva. That's the first interpretation. Back into the Gemara. V'rabbonon omri, the Rabbonon say, call me she'enoi oimro b'loshoin tachanunim. Anybody who does not say davening in a loshoin of tachanunim, in a loshon of supplications. Rather, he just reads the text, but not as a form of tachanunim, of supplicating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbo, v'Rab Yosef, the Omri Taravayu, Rabbo and Rab Yosef, they both learned differently, and they said, Kol she'enoi yochoil lechadesh bo dovor. Anybody who's unable to be mechadesh something in Shemoneh Esrei, this is very important. We saw Rashi at the top. Rashi on the first narrow line says lechadesh bo dovor bebakoshosei. If he is unable to be mechadesh anything in his bakoshes, v'hainu loshen keva. And that's what it means. This is an alternative interpretation of the word keva. What it means is, says Rashi, Kayoim Kain Esmoil Kain Mocha. As I daven today, that's the way I did it yesterday, that's the way I'll do it tomorrow, and in all likeliness, that's the way I forever have done and forever will do it. There is no chidush, there is no newness, no hischadshus about his tefillah at all. That's what it means to be davening as keva.
Does that mean like to have a new taich on a word in every Shemoneh Esrei?
So I'll tell you, you're asking a very good question. It doesn't literally mean that, no. It doesn't mean that every time you daven and say Rafa'enu, you have to have a brand new translation so that after 5 years of davening, you now have 1,824 translations. It doesn't mean that. Rather, it means, as we discussed last night, I hope the Tfilavad was worthwhile, what we discussed last night, that although there is a text of Shemoneh Esrei, and there are the general guidelines as to what that means, but it has to be made personal. And that's what it means, his chadshus. I'm constantly thinking of how this tefillah relates to me, and relates to my personal life, and my connection, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, for example, If you say every single day in davening, Goymeil Chasodim Toivim, literally translated, the translation doesn't change and doesn't need to change. Goymeil Chasodim Toivim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs great Chasodim. We discussed last night in the Vad that not only does he do chesed to us, but he makes us even feel as if we've earned it as well. But the bottom line is that the translation is he performs chasodim tovim. If that is thought about on a regular basis, that can mean something new every time I daven. Which chasodim tovim am I referring to? Something happened today in my life, something happened yesterday, something's going on at the moment. That's what it means, his chadshus. So that the translation doesn't need to change, but rather the meaning for me is always renewed. It's not stale. It might well be that I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu on several occasions, maybe forever for something in particular, but it's always with a newness. It's always with a refreshed look. I remember when I got married, I was a bocha in the Meir Yeshiva, and there were shurim, there was a vad on Shalom Bayis by one of the Magidei Shurim. His name is Rabbi Aaron David. And he said to me a beautiful thing. He said, undoubtedly all of you have married very special girls and have heard wonderful things about your kalis. But the truth is, obviously, that once you get married, that's when you'll really get to know her. You don't really know her now. He said, if I'm not mistaken, the name of the Meir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the avoda is, he said every day, halavai, we should do this every so often, but he said every day to find and discover a new maila, a new attribute in one's wife. So that means that the avoda in Shalom Bayis doesn't change, but it's always being renewed. So to our keshu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always being renewed. Not just, you know, stale. You know, the wife complains to the husband after 20 years of marriage, you don't love me. So why do you say that? Well, you never tell me that you love me. So he says, listen, when we got married, I told you then 20 years ago that I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. So that's not refreshed. That's not ischachus. So that's the inyan over here. Yeah, I daven 20 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, same as yesterday. And the person who comes home from shul on the second night of Pesach can't really be bothered to go through the Seder night again. So he tells his wife, he says, well, you remember all the Divrei Torah that we said yesterday? I said, yeah. Well, same thing tonight. So she says, well, you remember the meal that I served last night? Same thing tonight. You know, that's what Avodas Hashem is all about. We're trying to bring about his chachos, and sometimes it's not easy. You put tefillin on every day, and you put your tzitzit on every day, and you shake lulav from time to time, and shofar, and davening, and especially tefillah, which is every day, three times a day. And of course, there is an avoda of his chachos. His chachos does not mean a different meaning or a different interpretation. It can mean that, but doesn't need necessarily to mean that. Rather, a new aspect, a new way of making this personal and relevant to me. Back into the Gemara. Omer Rav Zeira, I think this is where we left off with last time. Omer Rav Zeira, Ano Yechilna L'chadushe Bo Milsa. Rav Zeira says, I am technically able to be mechadesh something in my davening. How so? An extra tefillah, an extra bakosha, umistafina, but I'm afraid to do so. Dilma matridna, because maybe this will cause me to make a mistake. As we mentioned, look at Rashi, the second narrow line. Dilma Matridna Shemo Eta, I might make a mistake. Veloy Eda, and I will not know Lachzor, to be able to return Lemokoim Shef Sakti, to the place that I've stopped. As we mentioned last time, they did not have Sidurim, so the text was not there in front of them. They couldn't put their finger on the place, as they then made their own personal Chidush or Bakosha. So he was worried that if I veer off and I start requesting this, that, and the other, I'm going to lose my concentration. So either way, you see over here that l'chadesh bodovo can mean not just a new way of making it personal, but actually being mechadesh a bakosha. Yesterday I asked for this, and today I'm asking for something else, and tomorrow for a third thing. Reb Zeira was worried that if I do that, I will lose my concentration, and I'll forget where I was up to, and therefore not be able to return to the place that I left off with.
Don't we hold that the tefillah, as it was set up by Chazal, is in itself perfect?
And yes.
If we make an effort to understand the Perish Hamilas in and of themselves, as it applies to us, then that's really the...
That's 100%.
That's l'chatchila. That's what.
That is l'chatchila, as we've always been mentioning in our tefillah vadim. There is the Harbi and there is the Kashti. So number one, understanding every word of Shmoneh Esrei, making it relevant, is the Harbi.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about being mechadish over and above that. That's the Kashti, that's my bow and arrow in which I put in my own personal koichos, but we need both. Abaya bar Ovin, v'Reb Chanina bar Ovin, two children of Ovin, Domi Tarvayu. They both said something else. A fourth interpretation. So far we've had interpretation. Keva means he davens as if it's a burden, or if he doesn't daven beloshen tachanunim, or if he's not mechadesh bo dovor. Here comes the fourth and final translation, and we have to try and work out how this fits into the word keva. Kol she'ein mispalel im dimdume chamo. It's referring to anybody who doesn't daven with dimdume chamo. What does dimdume chamo mean? So let's continue on the Gemara, and then we'll see Rashi. D'omer avchia ba'abo, omer Rabbi Yechman, mitzvah lehispalel im dimdume chamo. There is a mitzvah to translate, there is a mitzvah to daven im dimdume chamo. Now, how are we going to translate the words dimdume chamo? Anybody have a good translation?
According to Art Scroll, it's to daven during the redness of the sun.
Right. Dimdume can be a lashon of dam, but for our purposes, let's just say that it means dimdume, the appearance of the sun, first and last. What does that mean? So as the Gemara says, there's a mitzvah to daven with dimdume chamo. V'omer Reb Zeira, and Reb Zeira explained further. Maikro, which posuk is this learned from? It's a posuk in Tehillim. Yira'ucha im shemesh, v'lifnei yoreach doir doirim. Let's have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, She'enoi mispalel im dimdume chamo. V'hainu loshen keva. And that's what it means, the loshen of keva, i.e., says Rashi, tfilosoi olav choik kavua. Again, similar to the first translation, but it manifests itself differently. The davening is burdened upon him like some sort of law, imposing law. Lot says yidei chayva, in which he has to be yotze his chayva. Ve'einoi makbid, he is therefore not particular lechazer, to look after, to follow achar sha'as mitzvah ve'eis rotze, after the correct time for the mitzvah and what is an eis rotze. The real correct eis rotze, in the opinion of the Gemara so far, we'll see how the Gemara continues, is to daven b'dimdumei chamo, which means what we call vasikin, in the beginning of the day and mincha just before the end of the day. If you are makbid to daven at the correct time, then clearly you do not view tefillah as a burden. If you do view tefillah as a burden, that's what it means, keva, then you will not be particular when you daven, rather, whenever I can get it out of the way, that's when I do it. So if you daven at the correct time, then you clearly show that tefillah is important to you. If it's just some sort of burden which needs to be got rid of, then you daven whenever it happens to suit your daily schedule, your Seder Hayoim, and then you've got it off your back. Says Rashi, Dimdumei chamo, im dimdumei chamo, tfilas yoitzer, what does that mean, tfilas yoitzer, the Kriya Shema followed by the Shemoneh Esra, im haneitz hachamo, as the sun rises in the beginning of the day. The tfilas hamincha im shkia sachamo, and the tfilas hamincha with shkia, obviously just before shkia, which means you're davening right at the beginning and right at the end of the day. Yireucha im shemesh, with the sun, zu tfilas yoitzer, lefnei yoreach zu mincha. Says the Gemara in conclusion, having said all of that, Not everybody agrees. Says the Gemara, Laiti olo b'marova. Laiti means to curse. In Ma'arova, which means in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, to the contrary, they would curse Aman de Matzli im dimdumei chamo. To the contrary, they cursed anybody who davens b'dimdumei chamo. Why? Dilma mitrafalei shaito. What does that mean? Dilma mitrafalei shaito. Because maybe he'll miss the time. He'll miss the time. Now, clearly, therefore, this can only refer to mincha and not to shachris lechayra. Look at Rashi. Laiti b'marova, sells Rashi, al mishe mashe tfilas mincha. So Rashi says clearly that it's referring to mincha. Mashe means somebody who delays. If somebody delays tfilas mincha ad dimdume chamo, until those last rays of the sun, then that was not considered praiseworthy. To the contrary, got cursed for it. Shemo titorif loy hasho'o alidei oynes. Maybe the hour will pass by through some sort of oynes for ovar hazman, and you'll miss the zman. So clearly, therefore, the Gemara is not challenging the zman of shachris. And indeed, as we well know, there are many people, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Bereshom, who daven every day at Netz, at Vosikin. It is important to know, however, many people don't. Reb Eliashiv did not daven Netz. But his son-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shiyarech Yomim Vashonim, davens Netz every single day. Perhaps not so difficult for him, he's been up for 4 hours by then anyway. But either way, the Gemara is not challenging that part of this halacha. The Gemara is only challenging the second part of the halacha, which is, if you wait until the last moment, that is a very risky proposition. Because then something might happen due to oinus, and you don't have a second chance because you've missed the boat. Whereas if you daven earlier and you miss your mincha, you can always daven later on. But you can't daven later on if you're relying on the last minute.
How is that consistent with what we learn from the Shulchan Aruch, which basically said that the time for mincha, the adif time for mincha would be mincha katana?
Yeah, mincha katana doesn't mean... Yeah, quite right. But mincha katana means 9.5 hours, 3:30. So in a day that goes from 6 to 6, ideally daven from 3:30 onwards, but not at 10 to 6. If you rely on the 10 to 6 minyan, the last minute, then if you miss it, you're in trouble. We have discussed, I think, in the past, famous Shaila, and this is very much related to the Gemara we just learned. And that is, we've learned early on in our Perek, for example, that if somebody didn't daven Shachris or Mincha or Mariv, then he has a second chance, and that's called Tashlomin. So he's absolutely missed his first go, but later on, if he missed out Shacharis, for example, or if he missed out Mincha, he'll do two Minchas or two Maris. But that only applies if you didn't daven as a result of an oinus, or at least shoygig. But if you were a poishea, you were negligent and you deliberately did not daven, then you have no recourse of tashlum. So here we have the famous question. Imagine the end of the day was 6 o'clock. Somebody at 3:30 in the afternoon is fully aware that there's a minyan for mincha, and he says, I can't be bothered to daven now. Surely that's my prerogative. I don't have to daven now. I just have to make sure that I daven by 6 o'clock. And at 4 and at 4:30 and at 5 and at 5:30, he is fully aware that there's the zman of mincha, there are minyanim available, and he is too lazy to go and daven. He can't be bothered to go and daven. When's he planning on davening? At the last possible moment, which is 10 to 6, quarter to 6. At 10 to 6, an oinus happened. At 10 to 6, an oinus happened, and it really was not his fault. He had an emergency that he had to take care of, extenuating circumstances, and he missed mincha as a result. Is that considered that he didn't daven as a result of an oinus or as a pshia? Meaning, for the first 3 or 4 hours that he could have davened, and perhaps should have done so, he was definitely a poishea. But it was his prerogative to be a poishea as long as he would daven on the last minute. And when it came to the last minute, however, he was a real oinus. Does he have an opportunity of tashlumin, or he does not have an opportunity of tashlumin? This discussion is known in the poiskim as oinus b'yoyim acharoin, on the last day. Where does it come from? It comes from a very fascinating source, nothing to do with tefillah whatsoever. The Torah tells us, as we well know, that if you buy or sell property, come Yovel, the Jubilee year, it all returns to the original owner. But there is an exception. The exception is what's called Bote Ore Choyma, a house in a walled city. If you sell a house in a walled city, then to the contrary, that will not go back at Yovel. But how long do you have to redeem it back? 1 year. So if you sold your house because you were pressed, hard pressed for money, then you have 1 year to go back to the purchaser and say, listen, here's the money. And he will have to sell it back to you. If you miss the year, game over. So the question becomes, what happens if the seller has money? He sold his house, but Baruch Hashem, his success, his things have turned for the better now, and he has money and he's able to buy back the house. Now he knows that when has he got until the last day of the first year. So he says to himself, listen, I don't need to rush. I can go on holiday to the Bahamas and sit on the beach as long as I'm back by the last day of the first year, and I'll knock on the door of the purchaser and I'll give him the money and he'll be forced to sell it back to me. Fine. So do you know what people did? Purchasers were very smart. On the last day of the year, they disappeared from town. So the seller, who's been negligent the whole year, but again, l'chaira, his prerogative to be negligent, comes the last day when he really does want to buy back the house, he knocks on the door of the purchaser, and the purchaser is not to be found. So he's an oinus. That's called an oinus b'yoyim acharoin. He was an oinus, but only on the last day of the year. If he was an oinus the entire year, then we'd understand. Maybe he'd have a second chance to buy back the house later on. But here, he was only an oinus on the last day. It's really not his own fault, because the purchaser disappeared from town. That's the source of this discussion. And you can imagine this has many, many, many far, far-reaching ramifications. But it's all called oinus b'machron. I'll give you another example that my uncle told me. He was once asked the following shayla. He said there was a bocha in yeshiva who wanted to create for himself some sort of chiyuv to learn. So he said, I'm going to learn a particular mesechta in its entirety, a short mesechta, by the end of this month. And if I don't do so, I have to give a large sum of money to tzedakah. That was going to be his incentive or disincentive to make sure that he learns this Gemara by the end of the month. He was lazy. The month was slipping past. He hadn't opened the Gemara yet. Okay, it's his prerogative, as long as he gets it done by the last day of the month. And guess what? 2 days before the end of the month, he was struck with the flu, and he's now bedridden, unable to move or to learn. And now Rosh Chodesh has arrived. Once again, that's called Oinus B'Yoyim Acharon. Does he have to pay the money, or he doesn't have to pay the money? Everybody agrees that if you be an Oinus from beginning to end, from start to finish, then obviously he doesn't have to pay the money. Over here, he was negligent for 95% of the month. And when he finally wanted to go and learn, he was unable to do so, and that really was circumstances beyond his control. So how do we view that? Is that called an oinus or not considered an oinus? I'll give you a fourth and final example. The halacha is, the Ramah tells us, that if a woman does not light candles on Friday night, then the following Shabbos, and every Shabbos after that, as we well know, she has to light an extra candle. But that only applies if it was a poshia, if it was negligent, or if she forgot. But if it was an oinus, then obviously she does not have to light again. I've been asked this shayla many times by women, for example, who had a baby on Friday afternoon or Friday night, and in the whole hullabaloo, didn't light candles. So obviously we all appreciate that's called an oinus. But if it's not an oinus, she just was busy and forgot, she would have to light again. So here comes the question. The siren goes, and she's supposed to light. She can't be bothered. I'm in the middle of reading my book. It's too thrilling. It's too exciting to put down. I still have time to light candles. 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the siren, guess what? Her little five-year-old falls over, and she's got to go and rush him to the doctor. And meanwhile, Shkia has arrived. So she couldn't light candles. She was definitely an oinus those last 5 minutes, but she was definitely not an oinus beforehand. Does she have to light a candle, an extra candle, for the rest of her life or not? So as you can see, we've had four examples over here. The source of it is with regard to selling and buying house property in a walled city, oinus b'machron. We are connecting it now to our Gemara. When somebody relies on the last minion and then misses it, is there tashlumin? If you're an oinus at the last minute, hadlokas neiros, do you have to light an extra candle? And our friend who wanted to learn a mesechta by the end of the month, it was an oinus, but only at the end. This is a famous discussion. It turns out it's a machloikas rishonim, not so clear perhaps the way we paskin lahalocha. That is the name of the discussion, oinus b'yom achron. Either way, the bottom line is, the Gemara is teaching us, it's not a good thing to rely on. Not only is it not a good thing, the Gemara is telling us you're being cursed for doing so. Don't rely on the last minyan for mincha. Something can crop up, and before you know it, you've missed the zman of mincha.
Can I ask Rav a question? This term, tefilas hayotzer.
Yes.
Where's that come? You mentioned, you said that really refers to Kriya Shema followed by Shmona Esrei.
Right. Yetzer Oyer Uvayri Cheshach.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you know what? Maybe we'll clock out over here and we'll continue afterwards in the Hemshech of the Gemara. Moshe Zeli, do you think we'll ever end up back in your house?
I don't know.
For the vat.
We'll see.
How's it working? Well, you have to tell me, how's it work when it's over Zoom? Third last narrow line. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer is a quote from the Mishnah, Ma'alech b'mokim sakona. If somebody goes in a dangerous journey, Mispalel tefillah katzara b'chol parshas ha'ibur. And it was not entirely clear how you're supposed to translate b'chol parshas ha'ibur. So let's have a look in the Gemara. My parshas ha'ibur. What does this mean, parshas ha'ibur? Now, we should just point out in the beginning, this is not referring, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, to what we know is called Tfilas HaDerech. I would have to try and work out, actually, what is the difference between the two. Tfilas HaDerech, we'll see, is mentioned later on in the Gemara, and this is the source of it. We'll have to see what the difference is. But for the moment, this is called anybody who is B'Derech Sakona. So he says a Tfilah Katsara, B'parashas Ha'ibur. What does that mean, B'parashas Ha'ibur? Reb Nachum, it's not the same without that coastal picture behind you. Doing renovations or something?
We are. It meant to Hashem, it should be up next week.
We need it back. We need it back.
It's coming.
That way I keep awake. By the way, Reb Moshe Zelig, you know Reb Nachum gets a Mazel Tov.
I did not know.
Did you hear the new?
A Mazel Tov. Not for that.
Not for the renovations, but he's just appointed as rabbi of his shul, Rabbi Doron Beckerman.
No way.
A mazel tov.
Wow.
A big mazel tov.
Well, wait a minute. We got a loss.
Well, I've been totally out of the loop.
Does that mean he's not going to be at the Gra anymore?
I think when I spoke to him, he told me for the moment he's going to walk over, but he told me it's only like a 20-minute walk, and he said when they're building some stairs, it'll knock off another 6 or 7 minutes. It'll be like a quarter of an hour walk or less.
Which shul is this?
In Mishkafayim.
In Mishkafayim?
Parashas Ha'ibur. So what does it mean, Parashas Ha'ibur? Omar of Chista, Omar Ma'ukva, Afilu B'sha'o, even at a time that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are filled with Evro. Evro is anger or wrath. Ke'isha ubro. So it's like a play on words. Like an isha who's mu'uberes. What does it mean, like an isha who's mu'uberes? Says Rashi. Bechol parashas ha'ibur, k'moy prishas ha'ibur. Afilu b'shoa shata mismali aleim evro k'isha uba v'hochi mashma. Bechol inyone prishas ha'ibur, could go in evro be'evro. So sounds a bit of a tongue twister. The word ibur has several meanings. It can be translated as evro, anger, or in this case, mu'uberes, as in a pregnant woman. Ke'isha ubra. So, Rabbi Eliyahu David, how do Art Scroll, I'm curious, how do they explain this reference to an isha ubra? I'm sure they must have a footnote there.
Let's see. Even at the time you become filled with anger against them like a pregnant woman, may all their needs be before you. The term Parshas Ibur is explained as if it read Prishas Ibur. Interpretations of the word Ibur include anger, like Evra, and pregnant woman, Ubra. But that's it. He says it's discussed by the Maharsha and in the Me'in HaBrachos cited by H. Yosef, and also Rashi by Michal Pelech Shlomo. He doesn't go any farther than that.
Okay, yeah, the Marsha does discuss this. I did look up the Marsha. I didn't fully understand. I'm not 100% clear what this reference is to an Isha Ubra. But either way, the theme is obvious, that we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when you are filled with Evra, nonetheless, protect us. If, again, those who joined us in our Tfilavad last night, we discussed this at great length. This is the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when the Midah of Din tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ought to be angry with us and punish us, we nonetheless ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Gibor, to overcome that and shower us with mercy. So, even at a time when you are filled with Evra, Yiyu kol tzorcheihem lefonecha. Nonetheless, all of their needs should be clear in front of you and you should provide for those needs. Says Rashi, Yiyu kol tzorcheihem gluyim lefonecha. They should all be clear and revealed in front of you. Lerachem aleihem, to have compassion on them. Again, overturn the middah of din and be merachem on Klal Yisrael. Ikka de Omri, a slightly different interpretation, but also using the word Evra. Omer Rav Chista, Omer Ma'ukva, Afilu b'shah sheheim oivrim al divrei Torah. The word Ibur is from the word over, which means to transgress. So it's not so different to the first interpretation, and it means, even at a time when Klal Yisrael are transgressing the divrei Torah, which means that they don't actually deserve your rachamim, nonetheless, you kol tzorcheihem lefonecha, says Rashi. Afilu b'shah shem oivrim, v'loshen parshas ha'ibur, which means shem poirshin la'aveira. Prisha or poirshin means to separate or to veer off. They are veering off to do aveiras. They're going off path. Nonetheless, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. So, two different translations of the word Parshas Ha'ibur, either angry, Evra, or the word Oiver, when Klal Yisrael are being Oiver Averas. But the theme is the same. Either way, we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. He's in a Mokum Sakona, he needs Rachamim. Tana Rabbono, we have a Braisa. Hamahalech B'mokoim. If somebody travels in a place of Gedudei Chaya Velistim, where there are troops of wild animals and or robbers, bandits, Mispalel Tfila Katsara, he should daven a short tefillah, and he should say as follows, Veizei Tfila Katsara, excuse me, Rabbi Eleza Oimer, Rabbi Eleza says the tefillah you should say is as follows: Asei Ritzoimcha Bashomayim Mima'al. Fulfill your will in Shomayim above us. What does that mean? Fulfill your will in Shomayim. Says Rashi. Asei Ritzoimcha Bashomayim. Zok Rashi She'ein Shom Chait. There is no Chait in Shomayim. Ve'ein Ritzoimcha Aleihem Ela Toiv. And your only desire, therefore, is to shower goodness. Va'avoir letachanunim, letachtoinim al ritzoincha. Therefore, pass over to the tachtoinim. Who are the tachtoinim? Us, who live here, down in the planet Earth, al ritzoincha. So that means, that's what it means. Fulfill your ultimate will. Your ultimate will in Shomayim is a place where there's no chait, and therefore is to issue goodness, and that's what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'sein nachas ruach, says the Gemara, lireyecho. What does that mean? V'sein nachas ruach lireyecho. It means, and give, grant them nachas ruach. Some translate as grant them relief. To Lireyecho, to those who have Yiras Hashem. Mitachas, down below. In other words, here. Vahatoiv be'einecho asei, and that which is good in your eyes you should do. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Tefillah. Says Rashi, V'tein lohem lireyecho, give to those people who are God-fearing people, nachas ruach, sheloi yisarvev rucho, alidei habriyos, so that their ruach, their spirit, should not be confused or interrupted, alidei habriyos, by your creations, i.e., alidei chayos, could go in alidei chayos belistim. A person has nachas ruach, a person has relief, contentness, and that can be obviously terribly disrupted if he's attacked. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant relief to those who have Yerushalayim, and they should be, indeed not be attacked by either the chayos royos or these listim. Says the Gemara Vayta, that was the opinion of Rabbi Eleza. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, a different interpretation. Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael. You should hear the supplication or the cry of your nation, Klal Yisrael, Va'asei Mehera Bakoshosem, and speedily fulfill their request. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Tefillah. Says Rashi, Sha'avas, Loshen Genicha, Yosem Mitfillah. This is an expression of Genicha, of groaning, yelling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Sha'avo. Acherim Oimrim. Acherim now offer a third suggestion as to what this tefillah should be. And you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sorche Amcha Merubin, the needs of your people are many.
Did we skip Rebbe Lazar?
Did I skip something? No, we just said that. Rebbe Lazar Barab Tzadik.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Acherim Oimrim Sorche Amcha Yisrael Merubin, the needs of your people are many, v'daitom ketzara, and yet their das is very limited. So they have many needs and not necessarily enough das to bring about the fulfillment of their needs. So we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi says. V'daitom ketzara ve'enom yoidim lefaresh tzorcheim. They're not even able to enunciate clearly all their needs. So therefore we daven, Yirotzei milfonecho Hashem aleikenu, she'titein l'chol echod ve'echod, that you should give to each and every single person, kidei parnososai, his parnosa, his sustenance, ul'chol gviya ve'gviya dei machsoiro, and you should give to every body that which it lacks. Baruch ato Hashem, she'mea tefillah. Omar Ravuna Halacha Kacherim. The halacha is like Kacherim, this third tefillah. That is the correct tefillah that one should be saying, B'shas Sakona. Now, we'll hold it over here, as mentioned, but we need to really see in the Hemshech of the Gemara when we discuss the parsha of Tefillah Saderach, which again, Be'ezus Hashem, I think will be very worthwhile to see, not just the Gemara, but we'll see the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah as well. Tefillah Saderach, the halachas are sometimes not so well known. But either way, what we have to try and work out is, what exactly is Tefillah Saderach, and what is this Tefillah B'mokem Sakana? Because it sounds like all one of the same thing. After all, that's when you say Tefillah Saderach. So we'll have to work that out. Mitz Hashem will reconvene on Thursday morning. And meanwhile, everyone should have a wonderful Chodesh. Nachum, don't forget to put the picture back.
Chodesh Tov, everyone.
Good.
Shkoyach.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Shkoyach.
Okay.